Okay, this is Rabbi Schechter, Eruvin Shir, number 122.
I'd like to thank the whole Chabura for the Chanukah gelt that you gave me as a gift. I appreciate it very much, but I appreciate the learning together. The main thing is I enjoy all of the Chaburashafts. Yeah. We left off before Chanukah. We were learning the Mishnah on Nun Tes Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah has a Chumrah Midirabbanon that if you're dealing with a Rishus HaRabim Daraisa, Irshal Rabim is considered a Rishus HaRabim Daraisa. What does it mean, Irshal Rabim? So we discussed the Machlokes Rashi and the Ramban. We hear this with the long Ramban is. Rashi and Tesis line, Irshal Rabim means a city that has a population of Shishim Ribo, because all the Malachas are learned out from the Mishkan. Whatever Malacha, whatever activity was important in Asiyas HaMishkan, constitutes an Av Malacha. Whatever activity was not so important or wasn't involved at all in the Mishkan is either considered a Tolda or Muta Lagamrin. So in the Mishkan they had to carry, but they had to carry the area where they were carrying had Shishim Riba, had such a big population. The Chumash records what the population was of the Jewish people. There were more people traveling around in the desert at that time, but we don't have the numbers in the Chumash. That's what leads Rashi and Tosfos and a group of Rishonim to say, that's how you translate Yerushal Rabim. If you have a city which has a population of Shishim Riba, then it qualifies to be a Rishus HaRabim Derais. And the Ramban on this Daf Nun Tes takes issue with the Baal HaTos and says he doesn't believe that that's what it means. Never says that in the Gemara. You're going to translate the words Yerushal Rabim means a Rabim of Shishim Riba, Mehechatesa. So Ramban says Shal Rabim just means it's owned by the municipality. If you have a privately owned city, and an individual person bought a whole city, or he built a whole city, the whole thing belongs to him, and he rents out apartments, even though you have streets and everything, that's not a Rishus HaRabim. It's not going to be a Rishus HaYochid either. Rishus HaYochid doesn't depend on ownership, it depends on mechitzas. If you have mechitzas around the area, it becomes even City Hall, which belongs to the municipality. If you have walls around it, so then it becomes a Rishus HaYochid. But in order, so ownership doesn't play a role vis-a-vis Rishus HaYochid. But ownership does play a role with respect to the definition of Rishus HaRabim. That's the Gemara early on Daf Chav Beis, that everybody agrees to, that in order to be considered a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa, it has to be Shel Rabim, it has to belong to the government, it has to belong to the municipality, as opposed to if it's privately owned. Once you have mechitzas around the Rishus HaRabim, it becomes a Rishus HaYochid.
Right.
You shall the shahr. If you have a street that cuts through the whole city, and it's mefulish, there's a yitzia in both directions. Even if it has two walls, let's say it has two walls on these two sides, but on the other two sides, it goes through and through. The traffic goes through and through. So that'll be Rishus HaRabim Daraisa. In order to be Rishus HaYochid, you have to have either three mechitzas, like a U-shape, or four mechitzas. That's a machlokes. The Rambam sometimes requires four mechitzas, and sometimes he says three mechitzas are sufficient to make it a Rishus HaYochid. Rashi and Tosfos say the fourth mechitzas is only midirabbanan. When you have three mechitzas, it's already a Rishus HaYochid Manatur. The Rambam says that sometimes you need four mechitzas Manatur. Machlokes.
According to the Rambam, you have six.
Right.
So the Shishim
Reba
was 20 and over. Right.
Does
that
apply to
the Shishim Reba that we're talking about? Why
we,
don't we count
this?
No, we would need
yeah.
Millions, according to that way.
Yeah, so we assume not so. Some wanted to suggest you have to have Shishim Reba Jewish people roaming around in the street. If you have Shishim Reba Nochrim, it won't accomplish the status of Shishim Reba Deraisa because in the Midbar there were Shishim Reba Jews. So that opinion has not been accepted. Right, and the people, right, and the older people, over 60, right. But since the Chumash doesn't tell us those numbers, the Chumash only tells us the Shishim Riba with the change, so that's what these Rishonim say, the number is the number of Shishim Riba. So this is the source of this Machlokes. So the Mishnah says if you're dealing with a city that's a Rishus HaRab and Daraisa, so then they throw in a Chumash that it's not proper to be Ma'ariv the entire city, you have to leave out a Shir. So the people should recognize, oh, Ad Kan you're permitted to carry, and the other half of the city you're not permitted to carry. If you're only dealing with a Carmelist, only dealing with a Rishus HaRab and Darabon to begin with, then the Mishnah says you're not Mechuyif to make such a Chumash to leave out half of the city. The hacker. This is the hacker. If it's a Rishus HaRab and Daraisa, you need a hacker that everyone should know that we're only allowed to carry because we have an Erev. And the Erev doesn't go the whole city. If the Erev will include the whole city, so it'll be forgotten that there's a Malach of Hatzor. So the mission.
But hacker usually is, it's recognizable. More from that, you have these little thin holes. No one really knows where the Erev is. So how is it recognizable that part of the city is yes, part of it? You can have like some sort of a declaration that here you can't go, here you can't. So that's not a hacker per se. I mean, it's more of a notification that then you're seeing something.
Okay, okay. So you're right. It's not that kind of a hacker. It's a notification. That's it. Okay. That's what you need, a notification. So the Mishnah has a machlekes satanayim. How much of the city do you have to leave out? How much of a shiur to be mishayer? How much do you have to leave out? So the Mishnah quotes a machlekes Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon on New Testament al. So Reb Yehuda says you have to leave out, you have to leave chutzalah, you have to leave out of the Erev, Kir Chadash Sheb Yehuda. There was a city in Eretz Yehuda. There were three sections in Eretz Yehuda, Yehuda, Golol, and Eber HaYardi. So Yehuda is the area around Yerushalayim. That's called Eretz Yehuda. So there was a city called Ir Chadasha. On the side of the Gemara, you look under the Hagos Sabach. On the side, it has under the Hagos Sabach, they quote a pasuk in Yeshua, chapter Tezvav, where the pasuk says that that's the name of a city. Ir Chadasha is the name of a city. So that's what the Mishnah is referring to. That city in Eretz Yehuda had, in the days of the Tanaim, only had a population of 50 people. So you see that Dos Heista city, that's the smallest, that was probably the smallest municipality in Eretz Yisrael in the days of the Tanaim. In America, they would recognize that as a city. If you have 50 people living in a city, Dos Heista city, they have their own post office and their own mayor. Probably not. You have to have a minimum number. Rabbi Yehuda says, you see that there was a city in the days of the Tanaim that only had 50 people. So if you leave out a population of 50 people from the Erev, so he left out a whole city. So this is one city, that's another city. So the Erev doesn't go on that city. Rab Shimon is more makel. Rab Shimon says, you don't have to leave out 50 people. So you look, if you leave out from the Erev of the city, Gimel Chatzeres or Shnei Bati. What does it mean, Gimel Chatzeres? So we said that's a Mishnah in Erechen that says, that's the shear of the city. When you get to Ayoros HaMakof, it's Chonim, and Rosh HaShulbinun, that it has a different status, a different halach on the level of the Raisa. So the definition of an ear is you have to have Gimel Chatzeres. A Chatzer is an area Mukaf Mechitza. The three Chatzeres either have to be contiguous, touching each other. They have to be within 70 Amos to each other. The Shir 70 Amos are Shir Deraisa. So if you have three Chatzeres, and each of the three Chatzeres has Shnei Batim in it, so that's considered a whole city. So you left out a whole city. You don't need to leave out a population of 50 people, even if you have much fewer than 50 people. But if you have this Tzior of Gimel Chatzeres, that's enough of a shir. You look in the Gemara on Samach Amud Aleph before the Mishnah, towards the bottom, about 10 lines from the bottom of the Daf. So the Gemara has a caption from the Mishnah, Reb Shimon Omer, Gimel Chatzeres v'chule. The shir doesn't have to be a population of 50 people. If you have a shir, you leave out three Chatzeres is genug. How do we paskin? Amar Avcham Bagul Yomer Rav Halacha Ki Reb Shimon. We pass on like Reb Shimon LaHokel, that if you just leave out three Chatzeres, that's good enough. Then the Gemara quotes somebody by the name of Reb Yitzchak. It's unclear whether it's Rebbe Yitzchak is a Tana or an Amora. The Amoraim who lived in Babel didn't have any smicha, unless they had. You can only receive smicha if you're in Eretz Yisrael. So there were some. Rabbi Shmuel learned in Eretz Yisrael, then he came to Babel. So Rab got smicha. The Gemara tells him, Bob Metzia, a whole quirk of the story that Shmuel never succeeded in getting smicha. Okay. It was Mar Shmuel. It was Mr. Shmuel, like Mr. Mendelovich. So Mr. Shmuel never got any smicha. Rabbi Rav got smicha. So who is this Rebbe Yitzchok? It's not Rav Yitzchok. Rebbe Yitzchok, was he a Tana? Was he a Moira? Was he an Amoira? Then he probably lived in Eretz Yisrael. It's unclear who he is.
Rashi and Brachos.
Okay. it's also a question. Who is that Rabbi Yitzchak? Okay, maybe the same mysterious figure. So the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, he gives a third shita. Afila bayis echad v'chatzar achas. He disagrees with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says you have to leave out part of the city that has the shear of the city in its own. Lo says the shear of the city. Gimel chatzeris each chatzar having two batim. And he says all you have to leave out is one chatzar plus one bayis. The Gemara says, what do you mean, one chotzer plus one bais? A chotzer that doesn't have any batim in it is nishkan chotzer. What do you mean, chotzer achas al kadaitach? Rashi says, a chotzer that has no batim is not called a chotzer. You see the Rashi, write the line above masnisen in the Rashi. Chotzer below bais, mihavidira. You're not leaving anything out. The Gemara says, no, what he meant to say was, you have to leave, it's sufficient if you leave out, eleima bais echad b'chotzer achas. If you have an Arab on the whole city, you just have to leave out one bias from one chatzah, does it, you know, even if the Arab includes the other, let's say you have a chatzah with many batim. So the Arab of the city will include the whole city, plus all of the other batim within this chatzah, as long as they leave out one bias in one chatzah. You leave out one house where somebody lives. This is Shang Yinuk.
So you don't need a city.
You don't need a city. Rabbi Yehuda said you have to leave out a whole shear of a city, population of 50. Rabbi Shimon says you have to leave out a configuration of the city, configuration al pidin, svichatzeres. And Rabbi Yitzchak says you leave out one by a shear, is that shear? It's genug. So the shaila is, who is this Rabbi Yitzchak? What is he's disagreeing with both Tanoim and the Mishnah? You have in the Mishnah two opinions, Rabbi Yitzchak, you have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and then all of a sudden comes this Rabbi Yitzchak. So the Gemara wants to know, Shrek the Gemara, Amalei Abai le Rav Yosef. Abai was a student of Rav Yosef, so he asks him, Hoder Rav Yitzchak, where did he get this idea from? Gemara? Did he have a tradition from the days of the Tanoim? Or is he saying an original idea? So Rav Yosef comments back to Abai, Amalei, my nafkalon mino. Mojimea nafkamina. Whether it's an original idea or he has a tradition from the Tanoim. What do you mean, what's the difference? So Tosis explains, we just said a line before, we pass like Rabbi Shimon. So it doesn't matter what Rabbi Yitzchak says. We're not going to pass like him anyway. We don't accept his opinion. So what's the difference whether he has a tradition from the days of the Tanaim that there was a Tana who disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, or he's saying, I think the din should have been like this. It doesn't matter however you slice it, we're not going to accept this opinion anyway. So Amalei, so Abai says back, no, Gemara is Marta Tehe. This is a shtikala. Usually that expression appears in the Gemara as a complaint. Sometimes a person says over a Gemara, he's singing away with a nig in a Gemara, and he doesn't know what he's singing. So Abai is telling Rabbi Yosef, what do you mean? You're telling me a word in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak. And I'm asking a question, did Rabbi Yitzchak say he has a tradition that there's a third Tana? Or is he saying, I think the din should have been like this? So I want to know, what did Rabbi Yitzchak say? Just to say over the dinner of Rabbi Yitzchak without understanding it, that doesn't make any sense. That's how Tosfos says. The Kama, you see the Tosfos Gemara. Toward the last four lines in the last Tosfos on Samach Amud Aleph. So Tosfos says, the Kama, my nafkalo minoa, Rabbi Yosef comments to Abai. What's the difference? We just said we paskan like Rabbi Shimon. We're not going to paskan like Rabbi Yitzchak. However you slice it, whatever Rabbi Yitzchak said, whether he's saying over he has a tradition from Tanoim that there's a Tanu who disagrees, or he's saying, I think the din should be like that, what's the difference? Or Mishani, Gemara, what does it mean? Abai said to Rabbi Yitzchak, no, you have to understand what Rabbi Yitzchak said, not just to say over things without understanding. What is it, a nigin? Gemara, we say over the traditions, it's just a nigin, we have to understand the halach, we have to understand what Rabbi Yitzchak said. So that's how Tosfos read the Gemara, that we're not going to pass on like Rabbi Yitzchak anyway. The Rosh points out over here, in the Shulchan Aruch, the Rosh points out the Rif passes like Rabbi Yitzchak, the Rif and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch pass like Rabbi Yitzchak. So in other words, the Gemara first said, Halachic Rabbi Shimon, we pass like Rabbi Shimon. Then comes Rabbi Yitzchak and he says, no, I think you don't even need the configuration of three chatzeres. If you leave a shear of one bias and one chotzer, you don't even have to leave out a whole chotzer. You have a chotzer that has 10 batim, you can include 9 of the batim in the city Erev, as long as you leave out one bias, you left out a shear koldehu. You left out one bias, does a ginuk. So Rabbi Yitzchak is disagreeing with everything. So the Gemara is asking a question, Where did he get this from? Is he saying, I have a tradition from the days of the Tanaim? Is it a Gemara? He has a tradition for the period of the Tanaim? Or is he saying, Asvara, if you would have asked me, I would have said the din should be like this, but no one's asking him because he's only an Amor. That's the question. So somehow the Rif understood Lemaskana that Rabbi Yitzchok is a Tana. Rabbi Yitzchok is a Tana. I don't know. I don't know. He says, if Rabbi Yitzchok is an Amora, that's an interesting lotion the Rosh writes. If Rabbi Yitzchok is an Amora, so he has no right to disagree with all the Tanaim. So he's just saying, if I would have had the right to express my opinion, I would have said, if you leave out one house, is good enough. So he's just saying a theoretical, philosophical idea. If I would have the right to express my opinion, I would have said. But he has no right. He's an Amor. But if he's a Tana, then he's entitled to disagree with the other Tana.
There's so something else strange here. Usually, when you come to a conclusion, that's the first thing that's said. Halacha, Rabbi Shimon, end. Here, there's an opinion after that. Usually, that's the closing line. Nothing follows that as a rule.
Mm-hmm. So that's what the Rif understood, that we're going to pass for like Rabbi Yitzchok. That was the Gemara's question. If Rabbi Yitzchok is an Amora, so he has no right to disagree with Tanaim. So just giving a philosophical idea. If I would have been a Tana, I would have said like this. Or do you say, no, Rabbi Yitzchok is a Tana, and he's expressing his opinion. And whenever there's a Machloikis and Erevin, we saw quite a few times, you always have a right to go to Hakel. Alochi Debar Mekel Be'erevin, you always go to Hakel. So that's what the Rif paskin, the Rif, and the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, they paskin the Hakel. Whenever you're working on a city, you want to make a whole Erev, as long as you leave out Bayis Echad, you don't have to leave out the configuration of Gimel Chatzeris.
Whenever you come across a Tana, it's always to the Sanya, to the Snan, to the Rabban, something like that, you never have it, except the fact that it's a Rebbe. Rebbe is a Eretz Yisrael. But you never have anything without the Sanya.
Right, could be he's an Amora who lives in Eretz Yisrael? Could be he's an Amora. Yeah, why should you say he's a Tana? It does not sound like it's a Tana. And Achinami, that's the Chiddush that the Rosh writes. The Rosh says you get the impression that the reason why the Rif Paskin was like Rabbi Yitzchok is because he understood Rabbi Yitzchok is a Tana and he's disagreeing with the others, and therefore we apply the rule of Halacha de Rav Meikel Be'erev. But Halacha Lamaisa, that's the opinion that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that we're Meikel like that. You don't even have to leave out Gimel Chaser, just leave out Bayis Echad, and that's Ginuk, that's enough.
So when we say like, we make something, it means that we know that there are the machlokas of several people like that. You go to the kula, but here's like out of left field kind of thing.
It's a Tana out of left field. Okay, okay, but it's still a Tana. That's what he says. In the Mishnah we had two, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. And now that we become aware that there's a third Tana who's more Mekel than Rabbi Shimon, so we'll jump from joy and adopt his position. Okay. That's a very strong question, right? The Ramban writes that once in a long while we find Amoraim who do disagree with Tanoim, right? So the Rosh writes over here, as if it's a chok, as if that's the law, Amoraim have no right to disagree with Tanoim. It's not so, right? The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim that the pasuk says, "Vasal shayfet shayir bayamim ha'im." You have to ask the Rabbanim in your generation. So the Gemara asks, Vosha, then what's the alternative? I'm going to ask the Vilna Gaon. I'm going to go to the Kever of the Vilna Gaon. He's not going to answer. Of course you have to ask the Rabbanim who are alive in your generation. So the Gemara says, no, what it means is the Vilna Gaon wrote a Sefer, and Rav Chaim Moshe wrote a Sefer, and we know what they say. And Rav Moshe Feinstein is alive, and he says he disagrees with the Vilna Gaon, but Rav Chaim Moshe. So you have to listen to the live Talmid Chacham, even though we know that he's in disagreement with the previous Talmid Chacham. Ein lecha al shefet shebi amecha. So the Rambam writes this, that the rule of Ein Bezn Yochel Lebatel Dibre Bezn Chaver and Ken Godel Hemen and Bechok Medominion only applies if you want to repeal a rabbinic enactment. The later Bezn wants to be Mevatel, wants to Yochel Lebatel Dibre Bezn Chaver. To be Mevatel means to abolish a Takonet de Rabban that was made by earlier Chachamim. But if they're arguing what the din should be, they're arguing on a level of Derais, they're arguing on a level of Rabban what the din should be. No one's talking about repealing an earlier Takonet. So then the Rambam quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi, you don't have to be greater b'chachma v'minyan than the Talmid Chachamim in the earlier generation who disagreed with you. So the Kesed Mishneh on the side of the Rambam, beginning of Hilchas Mamrim, asked the question, so why does the Gemara always make it to Yufta against the Namayra from Tanoim How can the Amora say this? Is it Tiyufta from a Mishnah, from a Brayza? The Amora says Tiyufta. Obgefrekt is wrong. Why is it a Tiyufta? The Amoraim have a right to disagree with the Tanaim. So the Kesem Mishnah writes, the Amoraim usually adopted a policy that they're not going to disagree with Tanaim. But Anachanami, it's not a halacha, it's not a din. What is Alpidin? There's a difference in status between the Tanaim and the Amoraim. It's all the same thing. And Amora has a right to disagree with the Tanaim. Right, so that's it. Rav Tanu Hupali means that Rav never adopted this policy. He felt free to disagree with all the Tanoim. He didn't need that other Tanoim should decide with him. It doesn't mean that he was a Tana. It means that Rav didn't feel hindered. He felt free to always express his opinion and totally ignore what all the Tanoim said. And all the other Amaraim had this unwritten rule. But it's not really a rule. They adopted a policy. If there's a machlekes ha-tanoim, they may side with the minority opinion. But if they're going to see that none of the tanoim say like them, so the general policy was they're not going to take on all the tanoim. So when you make a tiyufta against an amora from all the tanoim, it's not really a tiyufta. It just means that the amoraim would probably not have wanted to take on all the tanoim, so they backed that on their own from that. So why not say over here the Rabbi Yitzchok has a right to disagree? The Rosh writes it as if it's a rule. That's what the Kesem Mishnah writes, and that's what there's a Ramban and Bava Basra like that. There is no such rule. There is no such Allah and Amora can't disagree with the Tana. They can disagree.
That would be the same with Rishonim on the Amora.
Also like that. Also, there is no halacha that Achrayim can't disagree with Rishonim. Every so often you have Achrayim who do disagree with Rishonim. The Vilna Gaon disagrees a lot with all the Rishonim. Sometimes he takes on all the Rishonim. About the Gdalim also, they didn't feel hindered. The other Achrayim also disagreed with Tanoim.
Just say,
that's right. That's right. That's the Rosh over here. The Rosh says that the Rif must have understood that Rabbi Yitzchok is a Tana, otherwise how could he disagree with all the others? Okay. But Allah Almighty, that's how we pass him. We pass him like Rabbi Yitzchok. So before Hanukkah, we were discussing this then, so we learned the Gemara. The only time it's considered a Rishus HaRam Deraisa with the Shishim Ribo, or Rishus HaRam Deraisa because it's owned by the municipality as opposed to being privately owned, Irshal Rabim as opposed to Irshal Yochid, is only if it has an opening on both ends of the city. But let's say the streets of the city go around in circles and there's only one opening on one end. And it doesn't go, it's not foolish, it doesn't go, you can't enter the city here and leave on the other end. You have to drive around and then come back out the same way. So that's not a Rishus HaRam Deraisa. To be a Rishus HaRam Deraisa, you have Hiluch HaRabim Mefulish. Mefulish means, in the Shulchan Aruch, it says, Mefulish Mishal Shabali Shomikum. It says, just be mamas straight. That's what some of the Gdolim write from Europe. They wrote before the Second World War, the larger the city is, so the more unlikely it is that it will be a Rishus HaRam Deraisa. Why? If you have a little village, so the main street is called Main Street, and it goes through the whole village like this, straight. But a big city, what happened was it started off as a little village, and then they started putting a building here, building here, building here, a cemetery. Then it kept on growing, mushrooming, getting bigger and bigger. And then it can't be that the streets are going to go straight. The streets are going to have to twist and turn, because you have all of a sudden George Washington on a horse on the pedestal in the middle over here, and then you have a park over there, and then you have a cemetery over there. So you have to go around and around. So that's what in the Shulchan Aruch it sounds like it says like that. That in order to be considered Rishus HaRam Deraisa, you have to have a street. Not only you enter this way and exit that way, as opposed to coming back out the same way, has to be Mefulish Mishal Deshab Belishul Mikum Klal. It shouldn't twist and turn. So others say, no, that's called Mefulish. It means if it's a right angle, that's not. If the street goes, you go into the city and then you go out at a right angle, so that's not called Mefulish. But it basically you go in this way and out that way, just have to twist and turn a little bit till you get to the other end, that is called Mefulish. Others even hold that a right angle is also called Mefulish, because you can go in and go out. The only time it's not a Rishus HaRam Deraisa is if you come out the same side. If you go and not only come out the same exit, the same way that you entered into the city, but if the exit and the entrance are both on this, let's say it's approximately a U-shaped highway, that the city is approximately rectangular in shape, and the entrance is this way, and the exit is on the same side, so that's not called Mefulish. You come out the same side that you entered. Even if you don't come out the same entrance way, come out the same side. But if you go on a right angle, so somehow that's also called Mefulish. So they have, the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch have different shades of interpretation of what this means, that it has to be mefurish. But kopanim, the rule is, it's only considered a rishus haram deraisa if it's mefurish. You go in, has an entrance and an exit on the other side. So the Gemara tells a story over here. Take a look on Nuntes Amibes. Hoysu shal rabbi v'harei shal rabbi. It's about 15 lines from the bottom, 20 lines from the bottom of Nuntes Amibes. You have the caption from the Mishnah. Hoysu shal rabbi v'harei v'chulei. So the Gemara tells a story. Rab Zera was a rabbi. Erva l'masa debei Rab Chiya, the city where Rab Chiya used to live. So Rab Chiya had passed away, and Rab Zera is now the rabbi in the community. So he made an Erev on the whole city. He didn't leave any shear. He didn't observe. They did in the Mishnah, you have to leave out part of the shear. Omalei Abayis, Abayi picks on Rab Zera. My time, all at Mar Hochi. Why did you violate the din in the Mishnah? It says in the Mishnah you have to leave a shear. Omalei. So Rab Zera answers Abayi. Savi dido amrilei, the older citizens of the city told me, I wasn't around when they originally made the Erev. He says, they told me, Rab Chiya Barasi Ma'arif Kula, that the previous rabbi, Rab Chiya Barasi, made an Erev on the whole city. How you talking? How come he made an Erev on the whole city? There was a big population when he was there also. So why didn't he leave a shir? The Amina, so I figured out, I put two and two together, and he came up with the wrong answer. He put two and two together, and he figured, Amina, Shema Amino, it's a raya that this city originally started off Ir Shal Yochid Ben Asir Shal Rabbi Mi. And the Mishnah says the only time we don't permit an Erev, the only time we insist that you have to leave out a shear is if when the Erev was originally made, it was already an Ir Shal Rabbi. But if originally it was an Ir Shal Yochid, whatever that means, either means the Erev was made when they didn't have a population of Shish and Bibo. Or the Erev was made when it was privately owned by one person. It didn't belong to the city. It didn't belong to the municipality. It was privately owned. So even later, after it becomes an Ir Shal Rabbi, either means later the population grows and you have Shish and Bibo. Or later he gives away his ownership and it becomes a municipality owned by the government. So since the Erev was started when it was an Ir Shal Yochid, so you don't have to have this chumer. So this Rab Zera says, I was told by the elder statesman in the city that the Erev was made years ago and it included the whole city. The Aminos, I figured to myself, Shema Aminos must be that this, the reason why Rab Chiya allowed an Erev on the whole city, I'm just doing over what they did then. Originally they made an Erev on the whole city, so apparently the Erev fell down the last 20 years, so he's just putting it back up. So he says, it must be Shema Amino, Zasimen, Ir Shal Yochid, Asur Shal Rabbi, and therefore you can make an Erev, you don't have to leave a shear. Amalei, so Abayi tells Rab Zera, you made a mistake. L'didi Omrili Hano Savi, those older people who told you this story, only told you half of the story. They told you, you should have researched it some more. They told you that originally Rab Chiya allowed an Erev on the whole city, he didn't leave a shear. So Abayi says, and those same people told me the rest of the story, that in the days of Rab Chiya, there wasn't an opening on both ends of the main street. One end of the main street had an opening, the other end was blocked up, there was a heap of garbage there. So there was only a Knesset, there was no Yitzhiyah. So there was no Hilach Mefulash, you can't go through and through. So that's not a Rishus Aram Deraisa. So the whole thing in the Mishnah of leaving out a shear doesn't apply. But now we live in a different generation. Now they cleaned out that heap of garbage, and now the traffic goes through and through as mefulish. So you're trying to make, and now there is shishim b'im, and now it is shal rabim. So you're making an erev now on a city that's mamish and mefulish. So that's not allowed. You have to leave a shir. So that's what Abayi says. Hahi ashpa havilo mechad gisa. Years ago, when Rab Chiya made the erev on the whole city, didn't leave out a shir because there was a big heap of garbage on one side of the city. And it wasn't moving, and that blocked up the traffic over there. So therefore the city only had that Knesset, didn't have a Yitzhiyah. However, the Hashta, now that we live years later, the Hifanyalo Ashpa, this Ashpa, the heap of garbage, was removed. So now, Havalok Kishnei Psochim B'yosa, and now you have a Pesach going in and a Pesach going out. So that's, and it's Shal Rabim, and it has a Pesach in and a Pesach out, so it's Hilach Mefulosh. So now you have to leave out a Shir. So that's the din. So he says, I apologize. Amalei, so Rab Zera was honest. He said, Labadaitoi, I made a mistake. Okay. He's going to announce that the Erev is no good. The Erev is good. You have to leave out a shear. So he's going to have to leave out. Okay. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Tshuva Saran that you can leave out. The Jews often lived in one section of the city, and the Nochem lived in the other section. So very often the Jews had no... There were certain areas in the Goshen section where the Jews never went anyway. The poorer sections of the Goshen section of the city. So the question is that called a shear? You're going to leave out a section of the city you shouldn't carry there? Bein kol vekol, the Jews would never walk there. So they quote the Tshuva Saran, Dosa Ginuk, even though you're leaving out a section where no one would have gone there, in the weekdays they don't go there anyway. That's good, as long as everybody knows officially, they made a hachraza, you know, you can only carry here, you can't carry over there. Dosa Ginuk. So he says, I made a mistake, he claps al chet. Okay, he's going to leave out a shear, so now it'll be legitimate. So now the Gemara has a shayla, boy minei rabami barada harpano me rabbi. He has a shayla. This din, that you have to have a Pesach Mikan and a Pesach Mikan, in Shal Rabim, if it's Shal Rabim, and it's a Pesach on both ends, so to Rishus Rabim Deraisa, then you have to leave out a shear, this din in the Mishnah. What's the din? There is a Pesach, people can walk in, can drive in, but on the other end, there is no Pesach. Let's say the city ends on top of a plateau, but there's a staircase. You can go down the staircase. But it's really a steep mountain over there, and a steep mountain is considered a mechitza. A mechitza is either the three different kinds of mechitza. That's the Gemara, the Brice in the beginning of Masechus Shabbos. The three kinds of mechitza. One is if you have a flat, let's say this room, so the walls around it are mechitza, that you have the floor and the mechitzas, and you have avir inside. Then you can have another mechitza if you have a pedestal. So on top of the pedestal, in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, you have a big pedestal that's 10 tefachim tall, on all four sides, goes up straight, and on top it's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. So the mechitza that goes up is considered a mechitza, and it's El Adarekia. It goes up, so the top of the pedestal has the status of Rishus HaYachid. Then you have another kind of a mechitza. Let's say you have a flat, the street is flat, and someone digs a ditch, a charitz, in the street, and the charitz is 10 tefachim deep. It has to be 4 tefachim wide. If you just dig a ditch that's less than 4 tefachim wide, so the edge of the haritz is not considered mechitza because it's not makif any mokum. A shiur mokum has to have a minimum of dal tefachim al dal tefachim. So if you have this ditch, is dal tefachim, the floor of the ditch is dal tefachim al more, then you have the walls of the haritz. So the walls of the haritz are mechitza not only for the haritz, the walls of the haritz will be a mechitza for the city as well, for the area adjacent to it as well. So that's what the Gemara has a shayla here. You have a city shal rabim, and you have a Pesach, the Knesset is here, and there is a yitzia there, but at that end where the yitzia is, it's the edge of a mountain, and there's a sudden drop of the mountain that constitutes a mechitza, but there is a staircase that goes down, you have a sulam. So the Gemara has a shayla, is the sulam dino kipesach? We have a din that the sulam is dina kipesach. That's the Gemara is going to get involved. The din runs like this. Min ha-Torah, all Rishuy and Sayochid are the same. Whether my family lives there, your family lives there, it's the shul, it's the playground, any area that has a mechitza around it, the area has to have a minimum of dala adala tfochim, not dala adala ramas. Dala adala tfochim, and it has to have mechitza around the 10 tfochim tall. So min ha-Torah, all Rishuy and Sayochid are all the same. So you're allowed to carry from one to the other, to the other, to the other. And Shlomo HaMelech made a takana de Rabbanon that we should distinguish, that if one family lives in this Rishus HaYachid and a different family lives in that Rishus HaYachid, so you're not allowed to carry from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid, unless they made an Erev Echatzeris. How can you make an Erev Echatzeris? Let's say I live on one side of the street, you live on the other side of the street. I have a house with a roof, you have a house with a roof. So it's easy, I can throw things from my rooftop to your rooftop without missing. If there's a hashash, I'm going to miss. So if I have a house on two sides of the street, that both houses belong to me, so I don't need an Erev Echatzeris. My family lives there, my family lives here. The same people use this house and that house. So I'm allowed to throw I'm not allowed to throw into the window because I may miss, unless I'm such an expert pitcher that I'm not going to miss. But let's say to throw on the rooftop, so Mistame, even with your eyes closed, you're not going to miss. It's not so far across. So if both of them are used by the same family, my house on both sides of the street, that's muta. You don't need an Erev Echatzeris. What if it's my house on one side of the street, your house on the other side of the street? See, now Shlomo HaMelech made a takana, not allowed to carry from my house to your house, even though in our Torah it's all the same thing, it's all Rishus HaYachid, but since it doesn't depend on ownership, it depends on who lives there. if the family is away for Shabbos, then no one lives there. So then I may carry from my house to your house, and no one there, so it's not called your house. But if you are there for Shabbos, and I'm here for Shabbos, so you're not allowed to carry from my house to your house unless you make an Erev Chatzer. So the din is in the Mishnah, you can't make an Erev Chatzer unless the two Rishuyos HaYochids, yours and mine, are contiguous. And also, there has to be a Pesach between the two. Let's say we have two homes that are attached. They're adjacent to each other. So, and we don't have a doorway that opens from my home into your home. I can, let's say, my wife makes cholent, your wife makes kugel, so you want to share the kugel with me, we want to share the cholent with you. So I'm going to take some cholent on a tray, and I'll stick my hand out the front window, and I'll turn my hand sideways. The left hand can go sideways, I'll do sideways, and I'll put it into your window, into your house. And you'll take your kugel, and you'll put it on a plate, and you'll stretch out with your right hand, you'll curve it, and you put it. So the Gemara says you can't do that. Because he can't make an Erev Chatzeres unless the two Rishuyos HaYochid, yours and mine, are contiguous, number one. On two sides of the street, they're not contiguous. There's a street obstacle in between. There's a Carmelis in between. A Rishuyos HaRam in between. And contiguous is not sufficient. It has to be that there's a Pesach in between. Here there's no Pesach. There is a means whereby I can stretch my hand in to get from my through my window into your window. I can pass something in from my house to your house. But there's no Pesach connecting your house and my house. So then it's not acceptable. You can't make an Erev Chatzeres, and you're not allowed to carry from my house to your house, even though they're contiguous to each other. So the Gemara has it in, let's say the two, your family lives in an elevated, let's say there are two ground levels. You live in a house on the upper level, and I live in a house on the lower ground level, and the two are next to each other. There's no street mafzik in between, but there's no Pesach in between either. But there's a sulam. There's a ladder that goes from your house to my house, to my backyard. So is that considered a Pesach? So the Mishnah say later that that's okay. If there's a sulam connecting your house with my house, so that's considered a Pesach. So that's what the Gemara is asking a Shaila over here.
A fire escape.
Well, the same thing achaloin. A Pesach means you have a doorway. How high does the doorway have to be? How high does the doorway have to be? So it doesn't say explicitly in the Gemara. So the Mishnah Berurah has to start scrounging around for Machrayim. Very strange. The Gemara never says how large the opening of the Pesach has to be. So he says, Mistameh, he paskens halacha, Mistameh, it's the same as a Pesach to be chayv and mezuzah. In order to be chayv and mezuzah, you have to be able to walk through it. Most people are pretty tall. So the halacha says, if a child can walk through, it's also chayv mezuzah. It has to be 10 tefachim tall. 10 tefachim tall is very low. 10 tefachim tall, when I stand up, is below my waist. 10 tefachim is over here. It has to be 10 tefachim tall and 4 tefachim wide. I'm so fat, I can't squeeze in 4 tefachim wide. So a little child can squeeze in 10 tefachim tall, 4 tefachim wide, an opening, and you go from one room to the other, so the din is, that's called the Pesach, and you chayv mezuzah over there. So the Mishnah Berurah says over here, if your house and my house are attached, and your family lives here, my family lives here, so you're not allowed to carry from one to the other, that's takana shleimah. No, unless they make an Erev Chatzeres. So you need two conditions that the Erev Chatzeres should be acceptable. One of them should be contiguous. They are. The two homes are attached. And the other is that there should be a Pesach. So if there is a Pesach that's an opening, a door, the door is usually locked. I want my privacy, you want your privacy. But if you want it, we can open it up. Sometimes in hotels, a lot of times in hotels, you have rooms that are adjacent. Each room has a door, and each side keeps the door locked. But you can open up the both doors, theoretically, and then you'll be able to go from one to the other. So the people from one room can make an Erev with the people from the other room. In a hotel, you don't need an Erev, because all the rooms are fully furnished. That's a din later. If there's a tfisas yad, if there's one balabas that has a tfisas yad, he has furniture in all the rooms, so then you don't need an Erev b'chatzeres, so it's all considered one big mishus. Well, let's say there's not tfisas yad. My family lives here, your family lives here, and we have a doorway that's always held locked because each family wants their privacy, but theoretically you can open it. So if that doorway, the opening is 10 tefachim tall and 4 tefachim wide, and that would have been enough to be chayv and mezuzah. We don't have to put a mezuzah because we never open the doorway. We never use it. But since theoretically you could open it, so that's enough to allow you to make an Erev Chatzeres. Then you're allowed to carry the chont and the kugel not only through the doorway, you can carry it through the window also. If you're going to carry it through the window and put it back through the window into the other fellow's house, and you're going to carry it lower than Asara Tvachim and the Rishus HaRabim, So Rishus Rabim, or the Carmelis, whatever the street is, so the Rishus Rabim, the Carmelis is Teifes up until Asar Tvachim. So that you're not allowed to do. You're carrying Kugel from Rishus HaYochid into the Carmelis, and then from the Carmelis into the other Rishus HaYochid, so that's not allowed. But if you're going to carry it above 10 Tvachim, usually the windows are above 10 Tvachim. All the windows are above 10 Tvachim. So you're going to carry something in a plate, some Kugel Cholent, from one home to the other home, above 10 Tvachim in the street, into the other apartment. So, and you have a doorway connecting the two. The doorway is always locked, but theoretically you can open it. So then we allow you to make an Erev HaTzeres. And then with the Erev HaTzeres, not only is it mutter if you open up the doorway. We don't plan to open the doorway. Then you can already transfer the food, transfer whatever it is, the storm you can carry through the window into the other house, provided you don't carry it within 10 Tvachim to the ground. If you carry within 10 Tvachim to the ground, so then you're taking it from Shusayach and into Carmelis, then into Shusayach, you're not allowed to. So that's the Gemara. So the Mishnayos have, there's a Perek Chalon. Later, there's a Perek that's called Perek Chalon. So the din is, what if you have, my backyard is adjacent to your backyard, and there's a fence separating between the two, and we want to throw things over from my backyard to your backyard. I want to throw over balls, or svarim, or food, whatever it is. So can we make an Erev HaTzeres? So if there's a big wall separating in between, even though you can easily throw things over from one to the other, you can't make an Erev HaTzeres. You can only make an Erev HaTzeres if there's a Pesach in between. So a Pesach would have meant if you have an opening 10 Tvachim tall, 4 Tvachim wide, that starts on the ground level. So the Mishnah has a Perek Chalom, that's the next Perek. It's the Hador, I think. Yeah, Dafayim V'Avim Ral starts Perek Chalom. If you have a window, a window by definition here, the Mishnah says a window is defined as a window that's 4 Tvachim by 4 Tvachim. If you have a window that's 20 Tvachim long and 3 Tvachim tall, that's not good enough. You have to be able to inscribe, if you have a circular window, you have to be able to inscribe a square of 4 Tvachim by 4 Tvachim. When you get to Tumah, let's say there's a mason in this room, and the Kohen want to know, are they allowed to go in the other room, and there's a door that's closed and there's a window. So there the Mishnayos and the Holos give different shiurim. There the shiur is much smaller than 4 Tvachim by 4 Tvachim. If it's a Tefach, so it's a Tefach al Tefach is ready, maybe it's a Tumah, depends what the purpose of the window is for. But here, when you get to this, then the Mishnah requires that the window that's considered connecting the two chatzeres has to be a minimum of 4 Tvachim by 4 Tvachim to be able to pass things through. And then this window, part of it has to be within 10 Tvachim to the ground. If you have a tall fence and the whole window of Dal Tvachim al Dal Tvachim is above 10 Tvachim from the ground, so then that chalon doesn't enable you to make an Erev HaTzeres between the two. You have to have at least part of the chalon should be within 10 Tvachim. Let's say at least half a tefach of the chalon should be within 10 Tvachim to the ground, and the other 3.5 Tvachim and I could be above Asarat Tvachim from the ground. Why does the chalon have to at least begin? Part of the chalon has to be within 10 Tvachim to the ground. So Rashi explains on the Mishnah there, on Dafayin Vavim and Aleph, at the beginning of chalon. So Rashi explains, if you have a wall that's 10 Tvachim tall, let's say you have your backyard is adjacent to my backyard, and we only have a low fence that's only 10 Tvachim tall separating between the two. It's easy to pass things over. 10 Tvachim is up nothing. Below my waist, you can easily give things over. You can walk over the whole fence. The whole fence, only 10 Tvachim tall, you can jump over the whole fence. So if you have a fence that's 10 Tvachim tall separating between my backyard, your backyard, so then the Mishnah says we don't allow you to make an Erev HaTzeres together. Oh, you have the whole opening on top. No, that's technish. The mechitza, 10 Tvachim tall, there's a separation, and there's no connection between the two. So you have to have either a Pesach on the ground level, a Pesach 10 Tvachim tall, 4 Tvachim wide and opening, or a chalon that should begin in the bottom 10 Tvachim. But if the bottom 10 Tvachim of the mechitza separating your backyard, my backyard, the bottom 10 Tvachim are solid, so then the chalon on top isn't going to help. The Gemara just says the one exception to the rule that comes up, halacha lemaisa. The one exception to the rule is if you have a bias next to a bias. Let's say you have my home and your home are adjacent, they're attached, and we don't have a door that opens up, that theoretically could open up. Let's say there's a window. You can open up a window. And the window is dalet tvachim al dalet tvachim, but it's much higher up than 10 tvachim. It doesn't even begin within 10 tvachim to the ground. So the Gemara says that's the exception to the rule. That's the Gemara and I involve on the base. That's about 10 lines from the top. The Gemara quotes the caption from the Mishnah Daf I involve on the base, the first Daf in Chaloin. So it says if the window is Tochis Midalat al Dalat Tochim, then it's not acceptable as a window. Or even if it is Dalat Tochim al Dalat Tochim, but it's not within, it doesn't even begin within Asarat Tochim to the ground, then it doesn't count as a Chalon to enable you to make one Erev Chatzeres. So the Gemara quotes, Omer Rav Nachman, Loshan, Aval HaChalon Shebein Shtei Chatzeres. When do you require that the Chaloin has to be within 10 Tochim to the ground? That's if it's a Chaloin between your backyard and my backyard. So then it has to, the Chaloin has to begin, the Chaloin of Dal Adal Tochim has to at least begin within 10 Tochim to the ground. What if it's a Chaloin Shebein Shnei Batim? What if it's my bias and your bias are attached? They're adjacent, they're attached. And there's a Chaloin, but the Chaloin is much higher up. The Chaloin doesn't even begin within 10 Tochim. So Rav Nachman says, that's okay. Chalon Shebein Shnei Batim Afilu Lamayla Me'asar Nami in Rotzela Arev, if they're interested in making Erev Chatzeres together, it's acceptable. My timer, why is that so? So the Gemara uses an expression, Besa, if you're dealing with a house as opposed to a backyard, as a Chatzer, Besa Keman Demoli Domi. What do you mean Keman Demoli Domi? If you have a house that has a roof on top, so usually fill it up with furniture. You have tables and chairs and so on. So since you have a table, this window, when I stand up here, this is 10 tefachim. So this window begins already above 10 tefachim. But normally in a house you have tables, chairs. So if you move the table next to the window, so then the window begins within 10 tefachim to the top of the table. Or even if you don't have a table, if you move the chair, here, if you move the chair, so the chair is the same height as this. So figuring from here to here, that is already within 10 tefachim. So since basic keman demal yadam, since in a house usually you leave furniture there, so if you would want to move the furniture next to the window, so the window would be considered, the window would be within 10 tefachim, so that's acceptable, that's considered within 10 tefachim. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara asks kashas, we have a brisa that seems to contradict that. It says under all conditions there has to be the chaloin in order to enable you to make an erev chatzeres between your house and my house. Your chatzer in my house, your roof in my roof, you always require, should be dalat adalat tochim, has to be within 10 tochim, has to at least begin within 10 tochim to the ground. So it's beferish against Rav Nachman. So the Gemara says it's not beferish, you can dray your way out of it, and that's the halacha, that's how we pass. We pass like Rav Nachman. The shaila comes up is, remember, we once had this in the country, in Tannersville. What if it's not a bais next to a bais? What if it's a bais next to a chatzer? A bais next to a chatzer. We had a next door neighbor who the back of their house bordered on our backyard. And they had a window, but the window was above 10 tefachim, but the window was a window from the house. So as far as the house is concerned, so the halacha is like Rav Nachman, that basic command, Mal Yadamya, so we consider even a window that begins above 10 tefachim is considered acceptable. But on this side, it was a chatzir. So on a chatzir, there is no roof. So on a chatzir, you can't apply the rule basic command, Mal Yadamya. So, as far as the chutz is concerned, it was above 10 tefachim. So that doesn't say beferish in Shulchan Aruch. That din is not discussed. If you have two chatzeres, one next to the other, so then the halacha requires the halon that enables you to make one erev chatzeres between the both has to be within 10, has to at least begin within 10 tefachim to the ground. If it's two batim that are connected, then it does not have to be within 10 tefachim to the ground. Basic in man amal yadam. What if it's one side is a chutz and one side is a bayis? Doesn't say explicitly. We did make an Erev in such a case.
Didn't Tannersville have an Erev around its entire bungalow colony?
Not yet. They don't have yet, no.
So you have to be one individual at Rukh HaTzeres.
Yeah. So sometimes you have a few people live near each other, so they make an Erev around the whole area. But when I was trying to make an Erev with my next door neighbor, there was no other Erev in sight. There was nothing else there. So we just wanted to have an Erev to connect their home with our chatzer, to be able to pass things through the window. So that's not explicit in the Gemara. That din doesn't say beferish in the Gemara. See, the Gemara has these two dinim are similar. If you have a chalon, if you have, let's say two homes are adjacent to each other, and there's a door that's always kept locked, but there are keys to the door, there is a way to open the door, so then we allow you to make an Erev HaChatzeres. If they don't want to make an Erev HaChatzeres, they don't have to. Let's say there are two chatzeres, and there are 10 homes in this chatzer, 10 homes in this chatzer, and the two chatzeres have a Pesach between.